El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show here, back live. And now it is Wednesday, so this is the fourth day of January, and time waits for no man. 2012, it is a brand new year. Phil Henry here, our News and Information Hour. Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard have joined me. And we thank Larry Grover, along with, of course, Mavis Leonard, for joining us in the last couple of hours. We talked about his stunt there on Christmas. You may think it's a Merry Christmas, but it's not. Well, you know, Larry, for some of us, it's a Merry Christmas. It's always going to be a Merry Christmas. It doesn't matter how bad things are, how good things are. We're always going to enjoy that day, so thank you very much. Anyway, welcome to our News and Information Hour. Reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com. That is our website. That's the strong right arm of the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and that's where you could go and enjoy any number of quality moments with Phil. You can watch our live streaming video of the show right now if you'd like. You can listen to a podcast of our show the next day, delivered directly to your iPod or your thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, with your whatever your iThing is.
Whatever your iThing is, you can also listen to thousands of hours of archive material, whole shows, total shows, 3 hours of radio shows, and all other kinds of marvelous miscellaneous fun, such as TV pilots and television interviews and radio interviews and things that we've done, character bits. We also have a free Classic Phil podcast. And for those of you who are not subscribers, you can listen to the show the next day on a streaming version of our show the next day right there on the website. So it's well worth it. PhilHenryShow.com, a backstage pass, and you're hooked up. And I'll tell you something, there's all kinds of money you can spend and throw away on all kinds of entertainment, but this is something that delivers constantly over and over and over again to the tune of I don't know, man. Like I said, thousands and thousands and thousands of hours. So our website is philhenryshow.com. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. And a couple of things to tell you about. First of all, we had a weird weekend here that I think you might find interesting, guys. There was there have been a series of arson fires in the city of Los Angeles since Friday night last. There also, as it turns out, had been a... Well, there were some copycat arson fires going on. Now, what happened was this, and I was very confused because even friends of mine living back east said, what are you talking about? You didn't. I said, I woke up on Wednesday morning to LAPD arrests arsonist. And I thought, okay, great, they found this guy. Now, in the middle of the day on Monday, as I'm watching football and we're all enjoying, you know, January 2nd, kind of an extended weekend, I hear the local NBC affiliate here breaks in and they have a press conference, and it's the Los Angeles Police Department saying, we've made an arrest, as you know, in the arson fires, and the guy's name is Alejandro Pineda. And I thought, great, that's great, Alejandro Pineda, that's okay, they got this guy. And he was lighting fires, and they got a picture of this guy walking down the street. At least they thought that's who it was. And it turns out there's another guy that they arrested. And I still haven't made hide nor hair out of this, but I'm guessing that there was a fair number of copycat-type arson fires in L.A. over the weekend that were started by this Mr. Pineda and another guy by the name of Arrington. But the real culprit is a guy named Burkhart. And he's a German, and he was starting these fires because he didn't like the way his mother was being treated by U.S. immigration, the criminal courts in the United States, Interpol, and the German authorities.
What?
Exactly. That's what I said. This was a guy that was so pissed off at how his mother was being treated by the courts, the criminal court here in Los Angeles, which was considering sending her ass back to Germany because there's an extradition warrant for her in Germany. And among the things that she is alleged to have done, she, I guess, kited a check on a breast augmentation clinic. Just weird stuff. And it also got into the files of Interpol.
What's Interpol? That's like, ain't that like the man from Uncle?
What is?
Interpol?
No, that ain't the man from Uncle. Interpol, I don't know. What was the man from Uncle?
Yeah, that was that. Interpol like a man from Uncle.
What do you mean the man from Uncle?
Yeah, United Network Command of Law Enforcement. That's the same thing as Interpol.
Well, I don't know what it is, man. It was Interpol is and was and continues to be an international. It's an international coordinating resource, I guess, or a police agency for all of these countries, all of the countries of the world that have a warrant for an international fugitive. They can throw it on Interpol, and Interpol collects all this stuff. I don't think Interpol has police, you know.
No, but they got like the man from Uncle.
Will you guys knock it off with the man from Uncle? I don't know what you're talking about.
They got to have a guy that can go and bust down, go and arrest the guy.
No, they ain't got any crap like Interpol. I've never heard of anybody. Hi, I'm from Interpol. You're under arrest. I've never heard of that. Interpol is a wire service. It's like cops put crap there, and then the American cops will say, I put it up on, you know, Interpol has got it, and Interpol has got a, I don't know what it is. Maybe we ought to look up Interpol. So I'll make it your job, Robert. Look it up.
All right. But you don't think there's Uncle?
No, there's no Uncle.
Well, there ought to be, because they're pretty good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Do I think there's an uncle? I don't know. And if there is an uncle, I wish he hadn't met my aunt.
Yeah.
In any event, just look up Interpol, not uncle. Why are you looking under the U's?
Oh, sorry.
And so in any event, there is this woman, and she is a German. Her name is Doreen Burkhardt. And her son, her son Harry, was really pissed off. And so he jumped up and down. He made a big scene in the court. He was talking about how his mother was being mistreated. And, you know, and they had their eye out for this guy. And the next thing you know, they got this guy busted for starting all these fires. For months, authorities scoured West Hollywood carrying a photo of a squat, green-eyed woman through a bustling hive of Russian-language social clubs and cafes selling borscht and Varniki dumplings. She was Dorothy Burkhardt, a fugitive wanted on a host of fraud charges in Germany. Dorothy Burkhardt was eventually arrested here, and last Thursday, she was in a courtroom for a hearing to extradite her to Frankfurt to face the charges. Get a load of this. Within hours, an arsonist began setting fires across a wide, significant portion of Los Angeles in a four-day assault that caused millions of dollars in damage and left many residents on edge. The man police arrested on suspicion of starting more than 50 fires turned out to be another resident of that Russian-language nook of West Hollywood, Dorothea Burkhardt's 24-year-old son, Harry. I'm so wild about Harry. Anyway, on Tuesday, authorities were investigating the relationship between the son and the mother.
Uh-oh.
No, it ain't what you're thinking.
How do you know?
I don't know. I'm hoping not. I'm praying not.
That's really funny. You'd rather have any. You just want to know that he's not doing it with his mom.
That's right. I'd rather hear about anything else, to be honest with you. A relationship that appears to be mutually protective, fraught with legal troubles, and laced with virulent anti-American sentiment. Don't you just love that? There's something very strange about that. People just doing twists and flips to get into this country, and they're anti-American. I was thinking about that the other night. You know how we always say that America is like the world's Disneyland? It really is. America is not a... People don't consider America a country like they come from a country. They consider America to be a place where everybody should be allowed to go, no matter what. So forget about turning your own country into a good thing. Just... It pisses me off, to be honest with you. It really... Because it's the height of stupid. And if there's one thing I can't stand, it's stupid.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
I like the way you guys are looking at each other. On Tuesday, authorities were investigating the relationship between the son and the mother. Court records unsealed on Tuesday only added another layer of mystery to Harry Burkhardt's background as detectives in Los Angeles try to determine whether Dorothea Burkhardt's legal problems played a role in the arson rampage. Her routine criminal charges, which include falsifying the down payment on her breast augmentation surgery, received an unusual amount of attention. An unusual amount of attention from German and U.S. authorities, as well as Interpol, the international policing organization. It was unclear from the records why Dorothea Burkhardt became such a high-priority target in an international dragnet after her arrest warrant was issued in 2007. According to interviews with numerous law enforcement officials, Harry Burkhardt lived with his mother in West Hollywood and appears to have been incensed at the aggressive international effort to send his mother back to Germany to face these fraud charges. The Sun made quite a disturbance at that hearing, said Thomas Mrozek, spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles. It left enough of an impression that a law enforcement official who had worked on the case against Dorothea Burkhart viewed LAPD images of a person of interest Sunday and reported that the person looked exactly like Ms. Burkhart's son. The officer was an agent in the Los Angeles field office of the U.S. State Department's Bureau of Diplomatic Security. Those guys are heavy.
What are they?
We got the CIA, we got the Defense Intelligence Agency, we got the FBI, we got a lot of stuff, but we also have a very little-known group of guys, the diplomatic security guys at the State Department, and those cats are, they'll put a microphone up your rear end just as fast as anybody else. Once identified, Harry Burkhart was arrested at 3 a.m. Monday by a reserve sheriff's deputy who spotted his minivan near the Sunset Strip. Now, when we come back, we'll have a definition as to what Interpol is. And I was going to tell you about this other guy, Arrington, and what the hell is going on with celebrity wife swap, Gary Busey, and Ted Haggard. This is brilliance. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's our news and information hour. Allow me to turn off the fan there, bud. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You were supposed to do that. Anyway, and if you're joining us online at philhendryshow.com and you're looking at Phil TV in HD this evening, you see that we have up on our video screen, Interpol's website, and the reason why I brought that up so we know what the hell it is we're talking about. Interpol does not make arrests. They don't go out and kick down doors, and they ain't got the man from Uncle. Sorry, bud.
Mm.
What they do is they provide, according to their mission statement, investigative support, relevant data, and secure communication channels. So I would imagine that if you need support in investigating something, they have bodies that will help you with that. If you're an American police agency that is looking for so-and-so, and the guy was last seen in France, Interpol will, to the extent that they can, provide some investigative support there. Maybe they'll track the guy. Maybe they'll find out where he is. Maybe they will provide at least some secure communication channels between yourselves and them so that they can, you know, further facilitate what it is you need. And they also do some training. And there's also a whole series of Interpol expertise, overview, training and capacity, data exchange, databases, and stuff like that. So, no, they're not the man from Uncle. They can't go in and arrest anybody, Robert.
Yeah, but, I mean, what's the point of calling themselves Interpol?
What do you mean, what's the point of calling themselves Interpol?
Yeah, they can't. What are you going to do if there's a criminal? If they see a criminal that they can get.
If they see a criminal that they should get, and it's a guy that's wanted in America, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Then they say to, suppose the guy's in France, okay?
Well, yeah, but what if the guy's like in Stanifan, or not that, but...
Yeah, well, like what was that one country you talk about?
What do you mean, what one country I talk about?
That was really weird, like, Canada. No, not Canada, man.
Kazakhstan?
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, what they'll do is, they'll go to the... Kazakhstan used to be a part of the Soviet Union. It's a developing country, but they're not eating with their freaking hands. You know, they got cops. And what they do is, they say to Kazakhstan, hey, there's a guy living in your country who's wanted by American authorities.
So they let them know?
Yes, they let them know. If for whatever reason the Americans are having a hard time making contact with the appropriate authority, if they're saying, I don't know, the guy is in that part of the country, that the guy's in that country, and, you know, what do you got? You got a detective at an American police department someplace? Where's he even going to begin? So they make contact with Interpol, and those guys can then, you know,
they call them up.
They'll call up whoever the country is, yeah. And then you know, you guys have to pick this guy up or at least keep an eye on him. There's a warrant for him in the United States. He's wanted for murder. He's wanted for whatever. And unless they're a completely corrupt system, because, you know, one hand washes the other. If you do for them, they're going to do for you. And if Kazakhstan told America to stick it up our you-know-what because they're not going to do that kind of work, the next time they have some guy running from them and he comes over here, well, maybe we ain't going to be so ready to extradite the guy. So that's what Interpol is, and that's what this woman, this Dorothea Burkhart, has been on the lam from Interpol, or she's been on the lam from the German authorities. And what's interesting is that all of a sudden, even though these warrants go back to 2007, all of a sudden here it is, 2011, 2012, and now everybody is hot and bothered about arresting her. Now, there is a reserve sheriff's deputy who got a lot of credit, and he wants to remain behind the scenes. He wants no exposure. He wants no publicity. He wants nobody sticking cameras in his face. He's simply a reserve sheriff who spotted this guy's minivan near the Sunset Strip, and that's when they picked this jackball up. Today, a German national, Harry Burkhart is a German national, this guy that was arrested for these fires. He's lived in California for several years. He'd been dubbed the Hollywood Furtufel, which is German for the Hollywood Fire Devil.
Now, he's going to call him what?
A Furtufel.
Furtufel?
Yeah. Booked on arson charges, he was being held without bail, and his 53-year-old mother, coincidentally, was back in court fighting her extradition and appeared disoriented without her son at her side. He should come into the court, she insisted, the U.S. Marshals and other law enforcement agents in the courtroom. She grew more agitated when the hearing began in front of U.S. Magistrate Margaret Nagel. Where is my son? Where is he? Is he dead? What have you done with my son? No, lady, what we've done with your son, it's what your son was doing to a bunch of houses and private property around the city, setting fire to it. Dorothea Burke, boy, I love it, man. Anti-American? This guy is burning people's houses down. One of the houses that got cooked, by the way, over the weekend, partially, and I don't know whether it was a house that this jackass lit on fire or this Alfredo Pineda, but it was Jim Morrison's house, the lead singer of The Doors, used to live in a house in Laurel Canyon. And I don't know if it's a historical landmark, but...
What are you going to make a historic landmark for? For what? When he smoked weed and everything? Make a landmark for the weed?
No.
I've got to make it for that, bud. But I think he wrote some significant songs there, like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, probably wrote the Lizard King there.
Yeah, he probably wrote the Lizard King there.
I don't know if it's the Lizard King, whatever the hell he wrote. But anyway, part of that house got burned down. So they were worried up there in the canyon that there might be some, you know, significant damage done. All right, that's enough about that. But I wanted to sort of lay that on you folks, because that was preoccupying a good deal of what was happening around here. And I got to tell you something. I didn't even know until, like, Sunday. Somebody suddenly said there's somebody setting fires in Los Angeles. I didn't know. I mean, I must have been so immersed in football land, you know.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I was watching so many games, man, I didn't even know what the news was.
Well, I was definitely out of the loop when it came to the news. Definitely out of the loop. All right, celebrity wife swap. Gary Busey, Ted Haggard, the former preacher, they trade wives on this. Well, actually, it was Ted Haggard's wife, and it was Gary Busey's fiance. Traded wives on celebrity wife swap. So let's find out how that went. And then kind of a sad story here. Mount Rainier remains closed. There was a ranger up there that got shot and killed. And they believe that it was a U.S. Army Iraq War veteran that did it. And the guy may be going survivalist. You know, he may be up there in the woods. We don't know. But we'll let you know. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and our website, philhendryshow.com. And also, of course, our shop, the Phil Hendry Show shop, with our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies that are available right now. And you can also pick up the baseball caps and our T-shirts and our coffee mugs and our shot glasses and downloads of all of our best of CDs are available there at philhendryshow.com. So pick that stuff up. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. And one other thing that we wanted to just mention to you very, very briefly. We are on Twitter at twitter.com/RealPhilHendry. And we're also going to be starting a project with Ted Bell. And when we get that project going, that's Ted Bell's Ted's of Beverly Hills Restaurant. When we get that project going, we're going to direct you to a particular Twitter site to weigh in with things. We'll be back. Show here, 877-876-PHIL, a news and information hour. In fact, better put the phones on hold here because I don't want to mislead anybody, you know.
You're not taking no calls.
I'm not taking any calls. We do give the phone number out. I don't know. Just it's reflexive. Tonight's episode of Celebrity Wife Swap on ABC featured a unique exchange. Gary Busey's fiancée and Ted Haggard's wife traded places for a week. Surprisingly, there were no fireworks. This according to Suzanne Clark, who is writing for ABCnews.go. The hour gave viewers insight into the lives of the two households and into the struggles of Busey, who suffered a brain injury after a motorcycle accident and is now known for his wacky way of expressing himself, and Haggard, an evangelical Christian who was disgraced when a gay sex and drug scandal came to light. Haggard had been a pastor of Mega New Life Church and the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. In 2006, his life unraveled over allegations that he had paid a male prostitute for sex for 3 years and had purchased crystal methamphetamine from him and probably for him. Stephanie Sampson went to the Haggard family's Colorado Springs, Colorado home, while Gail Haggard went to Busey's home in Los Angeles. I don't know why that's funny, but it is. Sampson met the Haggard's children, and Haggard, 54, met Sampson and Busey's young son, Luke. The traded women familiarized themselves with their new households, reading the manual that was left for them by another woman. As part of her duties, Sampson, now this is Gary Busey's fiancée, she's now in the Ted Haggard household, which is the household of the Christian preacher, and Gail Haggard is now in the home of the Hollywood movie star slash motorcycle enthusiast and sometimes brain-damaged rock on tour. As part of her duties, Sampson, who is Jewish, had to take over leading a woman's Bible study for the absent Gail Haggard. When she disclosed that she and Busey were married in spirit and not legally, she got some blank stares. Unfamiliar with the Bible reading, she stumbled a little and drew loud laughter when she mispronounced the word disciple.
What's it really supposed to be?
Disciple.
Yeah, that means you mispronounced?
I did as a joke, yes. It's disciple. That's probably... How do you mispronounce disciple?
Let me see it. We'll look at it.
Will you take it out of my face, bud? If you want to read it over there.
Yeah, it's probably disciple. Let me see.
What is it with you guys? Give me that. In any event, she also read from Gail Haggard's book, which was published after her husband's scandal, and details why she stayed with him. What, is that part of the job? She had to read from Gail Haggard's book, it's part of the manual, and read one chapter from my book. Sampson took exception to the perceived implication in the book that the gay prostitute who talked about his experiences with Haggard was doing the work of the devil.
Why'd she take exception to that?
Well, I mean, come on, man. In other words, what Gail Haggard is saying in her book is poor Ted Haggard got misled or led down the garden path by the Gail It's funny how her name's Gail and
yeah, it is. It's like Gail. Gotta call myself Gay.
Yeah, Gay Haggard.
She's in any event, Gail Haggard. It is believed by her that it was the gay prostitute that misled her husband and led him down the garden path to ruin. And this young lady, Miss Sampson, Gary Busey's, you know, fiance, she's or you know, live-in chick or whatever, she thinks the whole thing stinks, man, and it's like, you know, not fair. And you know, I agree with her. Anyway, so she also talked to Haggard and his children about what effect their father's scandal had on them. Haggard's son Elliot said he was angry at how people treated his father. Haggard, who's 55, said the scandal was embarrassing and heart-wrenching, adding, I wanted to die. Samson, 37, seemed genuinely concerned for the Haggard's well-being. They're all so lovely, and I just want them to be happy and find some peace, she said, choking up. I hope I can help. It would be great if I could. Yeah, I told you I saw that one movie with him.
Yeah, you said he was a pretty nice guy, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I saw that movie that Nancy Pelosi's daughter made. She's a filmmaker. She's a documentarian, and she did a really... a couple of really interesting movies about Ted Haggard. And the more interesting one of the two was after, in my opinion, was after the church had, you know, thrown him out. And the movie starts, I think I told you guys, the movie starts with him on a driving range. He's out on a driving range at a golf course, and he's hitting a bucket of balls. And the filmmaker says, well, Ted, the last time I saw you, you had all these friends around you. What happened to all your friends? And he just looks at the camera and says, I don't know, they're all gone. And thus the movie begins, and you see him taking these jobs where he's got to go door-to-door selling something, or he's got to go door-to-door giving, you know, handing subpoenas out or something, and he's got to go on the road and travel and do this job and that job. And, oh, my God, you feel for the guy. You really do. You feel for the guy. And, you know, it's easy to say, oh, that stinking hypocrite and all this stuff, but what the hell, man? You know, the cat... He was a preacher. He was a gay. He is a gay man, in my opinion. He's trying to do the right thing, and he can't. And he, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, you don't think he like? You feel bad for that man, but he took all that money from those people.
Yeah, what about the money that he got?
All right, so he got a lot of money from people. I mean, let me ask you a question. I mean, when the cat took all this money from all those people, were they not getting what they paid for? Were they getting spiritual sustenance? I mean, there was obviously this man was successful at what he did and was getting these donations. I mean, that's how churches survive, on donations. And people wanted to donate to him because whatever message it was that he had, people were responding to it.
Yeah, but then they found out it's all a lie because he's talking about how gay people are bad and everything.
Well, did he say that?
He probably did. He's a Christian preacher. Probably said gay people should burn in hell and everything.
I don't know if he said that.
Probably. You don't know.
Well, you guys... Well, what did he say about gay people?
You probably look it up. You probably see... On account of he's Christian, man. They all say the same thing. That the gay should burn. And burn good.
Yeah.
Get out of here. The gay should burn and burn good.
What else do you think they're going to say?
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know if he... You guys are saying probably. You don't know what he said. Maybe he did. Maybe he did. Maybe he wanted to believe that, you know? Look, I didn't give him any money. Did you guys?
No.
Uh-oh.
Then what are you worried about? This is the thing. I always love these people, man. That's why these Scientology people really crack me up. These cats that run around saying how Scientology screwed them and how it's an evil church and how it's this and that and something else. These jackasses gave money. These cats are the ones that laid all this bread on those people so they could learn how to stick a couple of asparagus cans together with a wire. I don't know what the hell they did.
What's that?
I don't know. Something that they do in Scientology. They test you, and you hold two soup cans or something. That's what
I read something about that.
What?
It's what they do, but I don't know. So, I mean, and then a guy that does that, and then he turns around and he comes to me and he says, Mr. Henry, you should help us because Scientology is really ripping people off and it's doing all this terrible stuff. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand. Well, don't you understand? Yeah, but you volunteered for this garbage. You joined up. You spent all these years. Don't you get it, man? You know, the game here is not to go in and bust up these organizations necessarily. Although if they are, you know, if they're committing crimes, I mean... You know, if they're running afoul of the law, of course. But that's not the game. The game is to be smart enough not to get sucked into this stuff. God knows, I'm not perfect, man. I've been sucked into things. Hell, I don't have to join Scientology. I don't have to join any church to know what it is to be manhandled and abused and used for my money. Believe me when I tell you. So I know all about that, right? Do you think I'm running around, you know, starting a campaign on behalf of Phil Hendry and trying to get total strangers to join me in my campaign and my whatever you want to call it, you know, my march, my demonstration to somehow right the wrongs that have done to me? No, man. I mean, I'm responsible for what happened to me in my life.
Yeah, but I mean, the Scientology, they say they believe in guys from outer space.
So what if they believe in cats from outer space? You got to be half nuts to join any organization that's got some moon man or some Martian at the bitter end of your journey of self-awareness. Jeez. These guys are laying a lot of breath. I mean, I don't know anything about Scientology. What I hear is that you have to spend a lot of money to get to the level where you find out that the ultimate thing to know is that a Martian took over the Earth.
Well, are you lying to me, man?
No, that's what I was trying to tell you the other day.
A Martian.
Like a Martian, something like that. Somebody from another planet. That's the whole thing. Now, you think I'm going to, you know, a cat's going to come to me and say, oh, wow, you know, please help us, because look at that. Look what they're doing. Look at how they're using me. Wait a minute, man. You're the one that got involved with this group of people that believe Martians attacked, and, you know, get out of here. Well, what about the people that died? Then they have to suck you in with that one. People died. Maybe they did. I don't know. Maybe they did die. I would suggest if people died, you get the cops on that one, man, and real fast. If you have evidence of people dying, you get the cops on that one. Cops will not be afraid to get involved in that. But other than that, then you got the Mormon thing. Same thing.
Yeah, they talk about the Mormons as bad and everything, but I don't see anything of it.
Well, it doesn't make any difference whether you think they are or they aren't. That's their thing. Then I got these people, man, like that one guy I told you about on Twitter telling me, yeah, Mr. Henry, if you ever want to know anything about how bad the Mormons are, I said, why don't you take a freaking powder, man? Bug off. Bug off while the bugging's good, brother. And he's all pissed off at me because I don't get right down with his whole anti-Mormon thing. And, so you support torture, you know, like I'm going to believe you, you chump. How come you got involved with that stuff in the first place? I was Catholic all of my life. I may still be Catholic. I don't know. I saw all kinds of stuff. I mean, look at the priest thing, right? Molesting the kids and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. See, that sucks. I'm not going to run around and start yakking about how I got lied to and they used me and, oh, my poor Phil, poor Phil, poor Phil. I was raised Catholic. I can make decisions now based upon my own beliefs, whether I want to be a part of that that body of believers or not. I personally still go to Mass. I like Catholicism. I separate the Mass and the celebration and the liturgy and the faith, I separate that from the political institution of Catholicism. The two things have nothing to do with each other as far as I'm concerned. I could give a damn personally about the Pope and all of that jazz.
You got to believe in a Pope on account of he's the Pope.
Well, yes, I believe in the Pope. You don't understand, man.
Yeah, if you don't believe in a Pope, the Pope's always right.
Yeah, that's another one I shouldn't have told you guys about. All right. So good luck to the Haggards. Good luck to the Buseys. What else did we miss in the story? Well, she was very sweet. She noticed that Haggard seems to throw himself into helping the people in his church, in his new church, and as part of her rules for the household, got the family to meet and talk. During the meeting, Haggard's daughter, Christy, asked to spend more time with her father. The resulting discussion grew tense when Elliot implied that Christy may have been unfair to their father by suggesting that he hadn't been available for the family. Haggard and his daughter went out together for a father-daughter tea and resolved the issue. Christy told her father that she'd like to reach out to her, that she'd like him to reach out to her more, and he promised to do so. I love you so much. You're precious to me. You're valuable to me. You're my only daughter, he said. Samson also took the family on a hike in the picturesque hills of the area and asked them to continue doing so as a family. Yes, it was Gary Busey's fiancée who did all the good stuff, and Gail Haggard just sat there like a fat lump. No, I'm kidding.
It's not fair.
Now, here's what happened with Gail Haggard. While in the Busey household, Gail Haggard said that she believes that the actor is a good father to his young son, but thinks the actor seems a bit too focused on himself. She resolves to direct his attention outward, in particular when she tries to engage him in a conversation. He talks a lot, but doesn't have any questions for her beyond what sport she may have played in her youth. The answer? Barrel racing. The answer? Barrel racing. Boy, that's a good read on Gary Busey. Anybody, people that talk about themselves and only talk about themselves, there's trouble in River City, man. Big trouble. All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here in our News and Information Hour.
Truth.
Don't go away.
Is our bitch.
Stick
Phil
around.
Hendry Show.
Visit our shop. Get the hoodie, baby. The hoodie.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and every night we're here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. So, and we're a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. If you'd like to know more about our show and more about us and more about me and more about we, go to our website, philhendryshow.com, and discover the marvelous world that we inhabit. Now, we are also on Twitter, twitter.com/realphilhendry, if you want to visit us there. We're very happy to have you with us. And also at Facebook, at facebook.com/Phil Hendry. Now, we have our fan page, too, bud. Which one's that?
Just Phil Hendry, the fan page.
I know. It's a little bizarre. I don't know how you get to our fan page, but we have a fan page. All right. So isn't that, I'm glad I made that clear. I don't know. Phil Hendry is the fan page. Oh, I know what it is. Phil Hendry Fans. That's right. Phil Hendry Fans, P-H-A-N-S. Facebook.com/Phil Hendry, P-H-A-N-S, fans. All right. Strange story from Mount Rainier. The staff at Mount Rainier National Park gathered on Tuesday to grieve the loss of a ranger fatally shot on New Year's Day and to wonder what led the gunman, heavily armed and carrying a bulletproof vest, to the to that rugged remote spot as he fled another shooting 100 miles away. Margaret Anderson was a 34-year-old mother of two who was married to another park ranger. She was shot and killed on Sunday by Benjamin Colton Barnes, a 24-year-old Iraq war veteran. After searching by plane and snowshoe, investigators found Barnes's body face down on a snowy creek Monday. A handgun and rifle were nearby. An autopsy completed found that Barnes drowned with hypothermia, another significant condition. Now, if he's a survivalist, or he was a survivalist, or I understand that he's an Iraq war veteran, which, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you're a survivalist. That means living for days and days and days and days and days, maybe even weeks and weeks and months, on just, you know, whatever you find out there in the wild. This man drowned. He was face down in snow. And I understand also he had post-traumatic stress syndrome, so he might have been not able to understand at some point the kind of danger he was in, you know, when it came to hypothermia. The national park receives about 1.5 million visitors a year. It remained closed on Tuesday, was not expected to reopen until Friday. Employees attended an all-staff meeting to begin dealing with Anderson's death. Her husband was on duty elsewhere in the park when she was killed. The FBI continued processing vehicles at the crime scene about a mile down the road from the Paradise Visitor Center. Meanwhile, the King County Sheriff was trying to pin down details about a shooting Barnes was involved in at a party in Skyway, south of Seattle. Nine people attended the party, many of them armed, and some had a show-and-tell with their guns. Some fired shots into the air to celebrate the New Year, which is about as stupid a thing as you can do, because, as you know, a young girl was killed over the past 3 weeks. An Amish girl was killed when some jackass fired his gun into the air, and the bullet goes up, and then it comes down. You know, the bullet doesn't go into outer space. The bullet comes down, Mr. Show-and-Tell Gun Guy. So when you shoot the gun and the bullet goes up in the air, guess what?
I got the gravity.
There you go, gravity.
I thought it went into outer space.
Yeah, I'll bet you did. No, no, the bullet doesn't go into outer space and land on the moon. The bullet goes up, and then the gravity takes over, and it comes down. And guess what else? It comes down like a bat out of hell, man. The same way it went up. And these guys that are standing out there firing guns at their show and tell, you jackballs do more to put the fire under the ass of these gun control jackasses than anybody else in the world, you clowns, with your show and tell and you're shooting the guns up in the air. So anyway, and it doesn't surprise me that this man, this Barnes, fell in with you. So anyway, at least two people drew their weapons when Barnes was up there at the park. One of them was Barnes. Four people were injured in a shootout, two of them critically, and of course, one of the park rangers was killed. All right, we're going to have more of these. We're going to turn that into comedy somehow, I'm sure. No, we will not. World-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Phil Henry, and it is also produced by Dan Northcraft, and it is a part of our ever-loving charter and our destiny in life to continue entertaining you again tonight at 10. So until then, have yourselves a very, very pleasant and marvelous good evening. See you, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry.